Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Hope you're having a great day so far. We are, and we're having a better day now because Chris Sanders joins us, Forever Titans wide receiver. What's up, Chris?
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing, man?
We're good. We've been talking drafts.
What up? All
What's up?
You remember that? What's up?
Oh, yeah. We just got into a discussion on J.C. Latham. It didn't work at left tackle. They move him to right tackle. He struggles there. You know, you got a different offensive line coach coming in.
Sure.
But in your opinion, with a third-year player, what do? Do you give him another chance at it, or do you try and bring in some competition?
I think you do. I mean, both. I mean, the thing about it is you got to figure out a way to where you can build this guy with confidence, because you look in the draft, when he got drafted a couple of years ago, I mean, they saw something in him that could help this team. So I think that one of the coaches, whoever's going to coach him, you know, on the offensive line, I think they got to figure out a way to pull out greatness. But then on the flip side, if he can't get it done, absolutely you bring competition in. You want to bring guys in, you know, that's going to really push him. Because the thing about it is, if you know that you have a position and you have no competition behind you, sometimes you get lack on technique and sometimes you get lack on things that you're supposed to do, but you bring somebody in that has the potential of taking your position, you're going to get better really, really quick.
Do you think that when you look at this offensive line, I mean, I think we know where the weak spots are. I mean,
right.
You know, you got a second-year quarterback with an offensive coordinator that's ready to cook. I mean, do you just say, hey, we need to improve this line and we need to do it right now? You go do it in free agency because there's a good bid out there, and then cut your losses?
I mean, I think, yeah, I mean, that's a good possibility, but you got to figure out a way to where if your quarterback is going to get better, your offensive line is going to have to be solid. I mean, I know last year was okay, and I know you had some injuries with Christian Mary and different guys to where the lineup had to change, but you got to get some depth. I mean, you have to get some depth on this offensive line, because if one of your top guys get hurt like Skowronski, then you got to make sure that the person behind them comes in and doesn't miss a beat, because we can talk about getting wide receivers, we can talk about getting a running back, we can talk about all these things, but if you don't make your quarterback comfortable by solidifying your offensive line, it's not going to mean absolutely nothing.
Chris Sanders is with us. I like listening to Dave Ball the other day talking about the, you know, with Cam and everything.
Yeah.
I mean, what's the first thing that you think when him and Cam get together they should talk about, they should look at? I mean, should it be a collective, a collab? Should it be like, we're going to do this, you need to fit this? Or like, hey, we like this, but you do this, we're going to fit it to what you do? Well, I mean, there's a lot of dynamics here.
Yeah, but see, the thing that he has to do first, and I said this last time, before you can correct, you got to connect. I think the first thing that you have to do is you got to build a relationship with Cam. Cam's got to be able to trust you, not just on the field, but just trust you as an offensive coach. So after you do all that, then you sit down and you turn in the film and KO say, you know what? What are the things that I do well? What are the things I don't do well? And let's fix the things that I don't do well. Because at the end of the day, Dable can look through his eyes, but he's got to look through his quarterback eyes. What the heck does that mean? That means that you got to figure out your quarterback and say, okay, he does this well. He does RPOs well. He does this, and start to frame the offense around how your quarterback can respond in great situations.
I'm unsure about the connect. I'm not sure if Dable can talk to Cam Orb. Can they discuss plays? I don't know how this all works right now.
Yeah, but see, the thing about it is, if you got to lay a foundation, he got to be able to trust you. Because if Dable just comes in here and just start screaming at Cam and start, you need to do this, and I'm doing it my way, then you're not going to build a relationship. But when I talk about building a relationship, it doesn't mean coddling him and say, hey, little buddy, you're going to do it. No, it ain't nothing like that. You sit him down and say, okay, what do you like about this offense? What's the foundation? What's the formations? What can I do to get better? And then Dable needs to listen to your quarterback. I understand he's a great offensive guru. He's a head coach for the job. All those things are great, but sometimes you got to listen to your quarterback, because he's got to go out there and make those plays.
Half of the mock drafts we look at, Chris, have the Titans taking a receiver, like here and there. And I'm not a fan of taking a receiver at number four. Listen, you came in a third-round pick back in 95. Yeah. I mean, when you stepped on that field the first day, was it like, oh, all right, now I know what this is about?
I mean, it was. I came in with a chip on my shoulder, so I really didn't care, because as a quarterback and as a receiver and a quarterback, it's totally different positions. So when I came in as a wide receiver, all I knew was I had to be man-to-man coverage and beat zone. So when I came in, I knew the speed and defenses were different, but I just knew I had to come in and make plays immediately so my quarterback and my offensive coordinator can trust me. That's what my mindset was.
Were you mentally prepared to be the guy? Could at that time in your life, could you be the guy? Like a number four pick has to be the guy. Could you have been the guy?
I don't know. That's a lot of pressure. I mean, because when you get picked, you know, the fourth pick, the first pick, everybody expects you to produce now. See, when I got drafted in the third round, there's a lot of receivers that were already here. So, like, okay, if he plays now, he doesn't, it's not going to hurt us. But when I came in the third round and played, it's like, oh, we got a diamond in the rough. But when you are a first-round draft pick or you're the first pick of the draft, you're supposed to be, you know, the guy. You got to come in and make the play. You got to dominate the game. And the expectations are so high. So that's why you see guys crumble or don't crumble, because can they handle the pressure? And I think Cam's done a pretty good well by doing that.
Hey, building off that, because that's a really, really good point. And sometimes we think, like, you know, everybody wants to be the best at everything they do, right?
Right.
I sit here and I want to say I'm the best radio host that has ever hosted radio.
Yeah. Love it.
I'm not. But like,
yes,
but that's the thought that I want to have. When you played, you know, you're like, Chris Sanders is the best wide receiver to ever play wide receiver. But we all know that everybody has a role. And the guys that accept what that role is are the ones that play a long time. But how hard is that? Like, when you realize, like, you know, I asked this to you because you live this, when, you know, D-Mace came in or Kevin Dyson came in and you realize, like, your role is changing.
Yep.
How did you come to that acceptance, and how can other guys do that too?
You know, it's funny because, you know, when they brought Yancey Thigpen and Kevin Dyson, all those guys come in, I went from number one to number three. And I'm going to be honest with you, I got really bitter because I made it about myself. So what happened was I went to go listen to a sermon that same night, and a pastor said this. He said, you got two choices, to get better or get bitter. So what I did in my mind, as opposed to getting bitter, I went out there to where every play, I'm going to play so well that you're going to have to play me. And in 1999, even though I didn't have that many catches, I think I had like 25 or 30 catches, I had to accept my role. I had to swallow my pride. I had to swallow my ego and say, okay, you know what? Where do I want to go? I want to go to the Super Bowl. So maybe my role might not be as big as Kevin Dyson's or Yancey Thigpen or Eddie George or Steve McNair, but I'm still a part of the process of bringing the Super Bowl home. And that's how I had to handle it. But it was very, very, very hard.
Chris, you ready? You ready? Here we go.
Oh, my song.
Here we go.
Oh, my God.
All day. When you're pulling that hamstring, dancing to this.
Yeah, hey, just listen to the song my hamstring pulls.
Oh, my goodness. Hey,
with
this being said, like when Cam's done with his rehab, how advantageous is it when he gathers all the guys and says, let's go to Miami for 3 weeks and throw? Should everybody be on board? I mean, can you grow that way when you're doing that?
Yeah, but see, it's like this. If you have a relationship, you know, I'm married to my beautiful wife, Faith Sanders. If I don't spend time with her and get to know her, we're just going to be roommates. And the thing about it is, when you're with a team, we always talk about being a family. I love my brother. I'm going to fight for my brother. But how can I be your brother if I don't get to know you? I know, you know, it's hard and it's a sacrifice, but sometimes you got to sacrifice to get to where you need to be sometimes. So if Cam called me and said, Chris, I need you to be in Miami for just 2 weeks to throw the football, I would talk to my wife, number one, and say, okay, babe, we got to go to Miami, whatever. We can go shopping after we go practice. We'll do that afterwards. But I want to build chemistry. I want to know how you think. I want to know what you're looking at. I want you to know how I'm thinking. So if you can do that and build camaraderie with the team and build camaraderie with your wide receivers, now you're building onto, you know, to do great things.
Did Chris Chandler invite you over then shut the door in your face?
Zero chance. Zero chance. I still want to fight that dude, man. For real, he was so mean to me, man.
If you ran into him, you'd be like, "Hey, buddy, how are you?"
No, I would tell him he's got a comb over now. So I tell him don't do the comb over no more. That's what I would do.
Do you know he's part of Super Bowl lore? He's one of five. He's one of only a few quarterbacks that led that quarterback five teams taking one of those to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing. Listen, I wanted the respect of my quarterback, but I didn't want to have to walk on eggshells to try to prove to my quarterback. That's not a relationship. You only talk to me when I make a touchdown. That's sorry. And listen, what I'm saying is very carefully. I'm not saying he's sorry. I just don't like the way he talked to me when I'm coming in and we have the same vision to win a Super Bowl. So the reason why Cam is winning the respect of the defense, the offense, and the special teams is because he communicates with everybody. He jokes with everybody. He brings everybody in. And if I'm a quarterback, if I don't bring everybody in, then I'm just saying this in a respectful way. You have a loser's mentality.
Well, surprise to you, on line two, let's welcome in Chris Chandler.
Hey, buddy.
Fun fact, Chris Chandler played for seven teams.
Seven?
Dang.
Seven teams.
Good
in his NFL.
Lord.
Wow.
Indianapolis.
Wow, that's a lot of teams.
Indianapolis, Tampa Bay, the Cardinals, the Rams, the Oilers, the Falcons, the Bears, and back to the Rams.
Good
Dang.
Lord. Hey, let me ask you this. We've debated about number four. Chase and I both love Reuben Bain.
I love Reuben Bain.
Let me ask you this, though. In 1999, if you guys don't draft Javon Kearse,
we don't win.
Do you go 13-3?
No. Mm-mm, we don't. I don't think we go to the Super Bowl because the impact that he brought. I mean, he broke the rookie record for getting sacks. I mean, the dude is a guy. It's a guy. We always talk about feeling guys on the field. There's the guys that make plays here and there, but every time he was on the field, he had the potential to make some plays. Look at the playoff game when we played against the Buffalo Bills. He gets a sack. He jumps off the ball and gets a sack, and it's a safety. So he always impacted the game. But I don't think we go 13-3 if Javon Kearse the freak.
Well, and that's it.
Team.
You're right. We're not saying he's Javon Kearse. That's not in our conversation at all. But
sure.
If he can make some sort of impact every game on the pass and lift guys around him, I mean, that is a win-win-win. So if they don't take a guy like that can just bring it every single play, I'm going to be pissed.
Yep, but see, here's the thing. Who won a Super Bowl this year?
Seattle.
Why did they win?
That defense.
Their defense, their front four had Drake, like he never played going. He was seeing ghosts. That's what it was. But when you have a defensive front that is consistently, you know, putting pressure on a quarterback. But here's the great thing about it is, if Cam was to throw an interception and your defense was that good, nobody would panic because they understood that the defense was going to get it back for the offense. That's why a defensive front is so profound that you need to have to win a championship. We're getting away from this spread offense. You got to win with offense. That's a lie.
Right.
Look, we just saw a perfect example of how a defense wins championships.
And you know who was one of the architects of the Legion of Boom?
Who's that?
Gus Bradley, who is now the defensive coordinator for the Titans.
If they get Bain and Sweat and Simmons and that's gonna be, and then get a couple of guys in the secondary, I'm telling you something. It's gonna be a sight to see, boss.
It will be, Chris. Hey, you know what? They need some safeties like Raina Stewart too.
He can't run. We should do one-on-one receiver, and I should watch him in the line. Okay, he's number four, so I'll make sure I'm number four because it was a guaranteed win.
I'd like to see that, you know, now that he's with the Titans as the assistant special teams guy. Let's go out to practice one day and let's just have you two go one-on-one and tear hammies. That'd be hilarious.
I wouldn't even get off the line of scrimmage and he wouldn't even have a chance to line up. We'll tear our hamstring before we even line up. We would make it.
Chris, appreciate it as always, my friend. Have a great weekend.
You. Hey, love y'all so much. Have a good one.
You too. Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, joining us. On this Friday, we always feel better after talking to Chris. We'll react to some of that and have much more. Coming up next, Chase and Big Joe on this Friday, 102.5 The Game.